Good morning. 00 hours. Rain. 72 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Rain. 72 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Rain. 72 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 71 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 72 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Partly cloudy. 69 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Mostly clear. 68 degrees. Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Partly sunny. 68 degrees. Good morning. 08 hundred hours. Cloudy. 69 degrees. Good morning. 09 hundred hours. Cloudy. 69 degrees. Good morning. 10 hundred hours. Cloudy. 72 degrees. Good morning, 1100 hours. Mostly cloudy. 72 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours, cloudy, 77 degrees. Good afternoon, 1300 hours, cloudy, 79 degrees. Good afternoon, 1400 hours, cloudy, 78 degrees. Good afternoon, 1500 hours, mostly cloudy, 76 degrees. Good afternoon, 1600 hours, mostly cloudy, 81 degrees. Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Mostly cloudy. 83 degrees. Good evening, 1800 hours. Mostly cloudy. 83 degrees. VHF hub disconnected. Good evening, 1900 hours. Sunny. 82 degrees.
Whiskey 8, Foxtrot, Foxtrot, Romeo, mobile and monitoring.
Good evening, 2000 hours. Sunny. 81 degrees.
Good evening and welcome to Liquid County Net. This net meets every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on the W8LEP repeater. This repeater is owned and operated by the Liquid County Amateur Radio Association. And the repeater trustee is Mike Nichols, W8YRC. My name is Kevin, call sign KB8TAR, and I'll be net control for this evening. At this time, are there any mobile or portable stations wishing to check in? Please call now. Any stations with announcements for the net, please call now.
KF8BOT on my HD.
KF8BOT, did you have an announcement?
Negative, I thought I missed the call in, I'm sorry.
Alright, no worries. Alright, we'll take general check-ins now. Anyone wishing to join the net this evening, please call net control now.
My KE8YGV, Russ in Davidson.
This is. Ending LJN, Larry in Metamora.
This is Kitty 8 YUK.
NHGLC.
KF8BOT again.
Whiskey 8, Foxtrot, Foxtrot, Roaming.
Kilo Delta 8, Golf Alpha Uniform. Mike, Columbiaville.
KE8, ZTX.
Alrighty, we got on the list KF8BOT, KE8YGV, N8LJN, KD8YUK, N8BLC, W8FFR, KD8GAU, KE8ZTX. If you did not hear your call sign, please try again. Alright, nothing additional heard, so let's start at the top. KF8BOT, go right ahead. I'm sorry if we forgot your name. too new of a call sign. KF8BOT, KB8TAR.
This is KF8BOT, Eric out of Holly, Michigan. I'm currently on a new HT I'm playing with up driving around Lapeer.
Well, you must be close, Eric. You're absolutely perfect signal. So very good. Glad you made the net. And let's see, Russ, you're next. Stand by Larry. KE8YGV. KB8TAR.
Good evening. This is KE8YGV. Glad to be on the net tonight and hear everybody's check-in and voice. I got the opportunity last night to get involved in a net where they were doing some slow scan TV, sending images across. It's kind of interesting. Always a learning experience with this hobby. So this is KE8YGV back to the net. Thank you.
Yeah, is Al still running that net, WB8YOB?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I haven't checked into his net in quite a while. So yeah, I used to do that slow scan TV with those guys. It was kind of fun at times. Takes a few minutes to send a picture. All right, let's see, Larry, go ahead, stand by Garrett, N8LJN. KB8TAR,
this is NABLJN. Welcome everyone on the net tonight. It's good to hear so many people. This is great. Kevin, you'll be very pleased that I have a box over here that's a nice pretty orange and waterproof, and I may actually have something to put in it, so I'm really happy about building the go box. It'll be slow but sure. Garrett, I can't recall who it was that suggested it, but I went to Walmart and I got some of those silicon pads, those heating pads, and I happen to have an extra one. So if you're still interested or if anybody else would like it, it's available. That's about it for me on the run, on this round rather, and I'll talk to you soon.
I think it was Rob that posted that silicone pad thing. I do remember seeing that. And, good news on the box. Take your time. That's all I can tell you. Take your time and really think about the layout. Play with different layouts so you'll get some ideas. I'm sure you've probably already been thinking about it. All right, let's see. Garrett, you're up. Stand by, Vicky. KD8YUK, KB8TAR.
Good evening, everybody. Yeah, this is Garrett, KDYUK, down in Metamora. Larry, I Russ picked one up for me, and I had the opportunity to visit his QTH this past Saturday, or Sunday, I think it was Sunday, and was able to retrieve it from him. I am looking forward to doing some soldering on it. Work has had me busy off the charts this summer, so I have not had a whole lot of chance since field day to even put hand to radio. I'm glad to be on the net tonight. I was so rusty that last weekend I wanted to get on the net, and I sat here and I turned the radio on, and I listened and I listened and I listened, and I didn't hear a thing, and I thought, well, maybe there's not a net. And then tonight when I sat down, I realized my antenna wasn't plugged in. So there you go. Anyway, there's a couple of news and updates, and I will turn it back to Nick. Got one more thing for the next round. Back to you. This is Kitty YUK.
I'm glad to hear it's not just me there, Garrett. I've been ridiculously busy myself. I don't know when it's going to end. But all right, let's see. you had me laughing on the antenna user error. All right, Vicky, go ahead. Stand by Ryan. N8VLC, KB8TAR.
KDHCAR, this is NHDLC, and I'm still cracking up about Garrett and his antenna. It's just funny. Good evening, gentlemen. And I guess the most exciting thing that's happened to me this week is I got my certificate in the mail for 13 colonies, and my state CUSO cards are starting to file in as well. And I know it's kind of goofy, but it's so thrilling. That was my first contest that I did all by myself, and it was so much fun, and I'm so excited. So that's my big news for the week. So I'll hand it back to Net Control. NAVLC.
Well, all right, Vicki, that's great. Great news. And, yeah, some of those are kind of fun. I'm not a, I'd never call myself a contester, but that 13 Colonies is a fun event. All right, let's see, Ryan, go ahead, stand by Mike, WAFFR, KB8TAR.
KB8TAR, this is W8FFR. That's good to hear everyone on the net today, and I would like to congratulate you and ACLC for getting that certificate, and I'm willing to bet it's probably going to be on a wall somewhere next time I pay a visit to play with the radio equipment. All right, it's good to hear everyone. I'm out of breath because I literally ran from my car to get to my base station, just got home from work, and yeah, I'm out of breath now, but I made it. So back to you, Ned. This is W8FFR.
Excuse me. Already, Ryan. yeah, I just presented a funny picture running from the car there. So very good. Let's see. Mike, you're next. Stand by Terry. KD8GAU. KB8TAR.
KB8TAR. This is KB8GAU, Mike in Columbiaville, via Echolink. It's great to be a part of this net tonight with so many participants, so many new members to the amateur radio community, thanks to your efforts of the club. And it's nice to see the excitement for different modes of communication, not to mention the Go Box, which I have just scratched the surface on, and I'm eager for knowledge and information. I understand that the mobile radio that you choose is the key due to the draw of current on batteries. That's where I'm at right now. I just want to throw that out to you guys.
I can't. We'll throw that out to the net there, Mike. I can't speak to, you know, what 10 watts means on radio X versus radio Y. That I can't speak to, but obviously it's directly related to power level you choose, and on 50 watts, the little mobile FM radio will draw quite a bit of amps, quite a few amps. So we'll throw that out to the net. Maybe somebody else has some insight. All right, let's see. Terry, you're up, and then we'll take a standby. KD8ZTX, KB8TAR.
KB8TAR, KD8ZTX. Welcome everybody to the net. Glad to hear so many people turned in tonight. And trying to keep up with the wife, with keeping her set up for all of her activities and antenna needs and everything else, having a ball doing it, trying to get set up with a portable setup so that we can possibly do a photo activator situation ourselves, and again, having fun with that, going through the same thing with sizing batteries and trying to figure out how to put it all together to make it easy enough to move, and trying to see if we could do a backpack situation along with a Go Box. So keeps me kind of busy there, and have, in all my years on the planet, I don't think I've ever had as much trouble beating back Mother Nature as I have this year. So. But it's a challenge. It gives me something to do and keeps me occupied. And Garrett, wait for another 20 years or plus or so, and then see how many things you forget. So don't feel bad yet. So, KZX, back to net.
They've done some POTA activations, and our club picnic coming up, which date I cannot remember, we kind of do a little POTA activation along with the club picnic. So, no pressure. same advice I gave Larry and Mike as well. Take your time trying to figure out what you want to do. All right, let's see, we're at the bottom of our list for the first go-around, so we're looking for new check-ins. Any new stations who wish to join this evening, please call Net Control now. All right, let's go back up to the top. I didn't hear anything, so let's go back up to the top. Eric, go ahead, stand by Russ. KF8BOT, go ahead.
This is KF8BOT. I am very happy I finally picked up a nice HD, a Yaesu FT5D, and also a mobile that has yet to be installed. I got lucky and got one of their FTM400 XDRs that'll do the APRS and all of those things that I have so much to completely and totally learn about. But I am really looking forward to digging into this and just working way too much. 6.5 more years till retirement.
Very good there, Eric. I want to say there's a 300, a 400, a 500. Those radios caught my eye as well, so I look forward to hearing your, your take on that radio. And like I said, they caught my eye as well. I still don't have the Yaesu digital mode. I don't have that capability yet. So, but let us know how that works out. Excuse me. Russ, go ahead. Stand by Larry. KE8YGV. KBTAR.
Yes, thank you, Kevin. This is Russ, KE8YGV. And Eric, don't rush into retirement so quick. It is, there's a lot of benefits. But there's a lot of downside to this unemployment as well. But I've been busy. Garrett was gracious enough to come out this weekend with his lovely wife, and I just figured out, Garrett, this is the first time Carolyn and I had met her because you came with your son to the Christmas party. Very, very wonderful woman, and he discussed some coax with me to my future ham shack. So I've spent a little bit of time here drilling holes and going through walls and soffits and ceilings trying to figure out the best route. The problem with doing that is you end up making a little bit of patching and painting work for yourself while you're investigating. But it's all as well, and it's fun to have the opportunity, and I thank Garrett for his advice. So that's it, and back to Net Control. Thank you. And 73 to all.
I chuckle, Russ, at how you called the retirement unemployment. I suppose technically that's what it is, but I got to be honest, it's sounding better and better to me. Work's getting difficult for me to keep up, to be honest, with the young guys. Larry, you're up. Stand by Garrett, INA8LJN, KB8TAR.
KB8TAR, this is INA8LJN. And before I forget, thanks so much for running the net tonight, Kevin. We greatly appreciate it. Hey, Eric, you're far too young to retire, and congratulations are in order because by my count here, you are our newest ham on tonight, and Kevin said, very clear on that radio, really well done. Ryan, the reason you're not hearing me before you arrive at work is I've got a late schedule now this quarter, and so I don't usually get in to the office till about 9, so I miss you in the morning. So hopefully I'll catch you again some other day. And Russ, thanks for taking care of the silicone pad for Garrett, and that means I have an extra. So if anybody's interested in a pad the soldering. I'll bring it to the club meeting, and it's very inexpensive, only $5. And while I was there, I bought some school supplies, some holders for our next technician training program. No pressure, Garrett, so I'm ready. Finally, soldering. Really nice story. I taught my son how to do a little bit of solder splicing, and I've done it three or four times on his project cars. Last night at about 11 o'clock, he was asking to help him with a lighting prop on his car. And this afternoon, I came home, and he made four splices and just got it working when I arrived. So that's a big win for Dad. Vicki, congratulations on the 13 colonies. That's really cool. Can't wait to see your QSL cards. And Photo Picnic coming up soon. I have a script for you. Thanks, everybody, for joining the net tonight. Oh, one more. Mike, on the mobile, I have only one bit of advice, and it sounds like it's going to take three or four times before we do it right. So just get used to the idea that we're going to have to do it three or four times before we're happy with our go box. This is ADLJN. Back to net.
That's a big Roger. I had about three under my belt before I got all the kinks worked out. So, yep, that happened. All right, Garrett, go ahead, stand by. KD8YUK, KB8TAR.
Good evening, this is KD8YUK. Larry, the net class is much on my mind, actually. I've got a couple of proposals. I'll get those into the Slack channel here. Probably this evening. I have a proposal for maybe not only the night of the week, but also a little bit of the format. Nothing significant, just some tweaks, and then I want to get together with the education team and talk about a few things that I think we teed up after the last class. Not to make a big mystery about it, everybody, but we want to give, as those of you who have been through the class know, we want to give everybody hands-on experience, and we've been packing the content in so tight that that can be a little challenging sometimes. So we're thinking about maybe adding one extra week so that we can sort of smooth things out and add a few more hands-on exercises over the span of the time. So more to come on that. The other thing I'm working on is I'm very close to finishing the script for our radio neighbor net, which is a simplex net we'll do in the area so you know who your radio neighbors are. The repeater goes down or there's severe weather, you'll know who you can typically reach directly from your own location. So keep an eye out for that. We'll get that scheduled to the club relatively soon, and I am looking forward to all of those things. So, Larry, definitely we'll talk soon. With that, I'll turn it back to you, Kevin, to KB8TAR from KDAYUK. Have a good evening, everybody.
Very good, Garrett. Yeah, I look forward, I guess, to hearing your direction on that, because if you got the Yagi up, you can get out quite a ways, but I'm not sure that's the intent of your neighborhood net. But I look forward to that. All right, Vicki, go ahead. Stand by Ryan in the PLC, KB8TAR.
KB8TAR, this is NAPLC. And Larry, I'm looking forward to working with you on the POTA picnic. I am really into POTA. It's so much fun. It's become my new social life. I'm actually making contacts with the same people over and over again a lot of times, and we recognize each other, so that's kind of fun. But, no, we were talking, Terry and I, about a POTA activation, and where we take our fifth wheel up north is not too far from the hatchery, the Jordan River hatchery, and a friend of ours just retired from working there, but the hatchery itself is way down in the hole, but they've got a gorgeous hill that you climb up, and you can just see out far and wide. So we were thinking a backpack type of go bag, if you will. Kind of got the idea from Garrett, and, you know, we can hike up there and set up an antenna and see just how far we can reach, because I got to tell you, I cannot reach anybody. I can't say anybody. I think I've made two contacts in Michigan, but yet I can get to Saskatchewan. So I don't know what the deal is, if I'm just too close or what. I just haven't figured all that stuff out yet. But great, great fun, and I think an activation. I want to get my feet wet at the picnic, and I think it will be just a lot of fun. So that's it for me. I'm not going to give you the bad news that a fox came in and killed three of our chickens and almost wiped out my favorite rooster, poor little booger. But I'm not going to tell you about that. I'm going to leave on a high note. This is NADLC. Back to net control.
I've never lost any chickens to a fox, but I had skunks move into our pole barn a couple times, and they were mowing down. And then, of course, neighborhood dogs will get them once in a while, too, but never had the fox get in. I did catch a groundhog inside my fenced-off garden a couple days ago, so he was in there munching potatoes, I think. All right, enough of the farm talk. Ryan, go ahead, stand by Mike. W8FFR, KB8TAR.
Hey, yes, thank you, Net Control. This is W8FFR, and the farm talk's not exactly over because our dog has also been sprayed by skunk that decided a family skunk moved under our pool shed. And, yeah, our dog loves to just go there and try to get them, and he's come in the house before, and we've had to kick him out a few times. But, Larry, don't worry about it. While I may be going into work at the same time every day, my get-out time is completely wild. I don't know what day I'll be out tomorrow, so I could be out really early one day and catch you on the way back. So it still amazes me that nets like these, how we're also organized from a generally disorganized service, and it's just amazing to me. I love talking on nets and just how the cooperation, the coordination of multiple stations, and it's all voluntary, so it amazes me. So yeah, I'm going to send 7-3 to everybody there. Y'all have a wonderful night.
Well, very good, Ryan. Yeah, I've had to, we don't have dogs, but I've had to shoot skunks in the pole barn, I don't know, probably 3 times, and you leave the doors open for a good week after that. So there you go. All right, Mike, go ahead, stand by Terry. Kitty8GAU, KB8TAR.
Kitty8GAU, thank you everybody for your advice. And you go back, it sounds like patience and research and listening to the nets to hear what everybody's up to and to get the latest information. So that's good advice. I will follow that advice. Thank you. I hear that there's a picnic coming. I regret that I was unable to attend field day and meet everybody. So I'm going to keep my ear out for the date of the picnic, and I look forward to getting out there and meeting everybody at the picnic. The Radio Neighbor project, I found that interesting because I've often wondered, in the case of an emergency, how can we communicate, where will we meet on the spectrum, et cetera. So I think that's interesting information that is good for our community. Thanks for a great net tonight. Kevin, thank you for hosting the nets.
Mike, just take your time in trying to figure out the layout. One of the things you'll run into is leaving enough room for your coax runs and allowing enough room for it to do a radius that's not too tight. After a while, I figured out I use the DX Engineering pigtails. They're pre-terminated coax hunks, RG8X, and they're small enough that you can stuff them into a go box pretty good. So you can get them in different lengths. I usually ended up buying like the 18 or 24 inch lengths, and they work really well for inside a box. All right, Terry, go ahead, and then we'll take a final standby. KE8ZTX, KB8TAR.
KB8TAR, KE8ZTX. Yeah, as far as the go box is concerned, yeah, I agree. Take your time to do it the best you can, because you blanket. The go bag for me, because I'm going to be the one that carries it on my back. It's going to have to be as tightly packed and as lightweight as I can make it, because the activation we want to do that Victor is talking about up at Jordan River is about a 1,000-foot climb. And it's a beautiful, it's one of the most beautiful fall picturesque scenes you could ever imagine, overlooking the entire Jordan Valley. And I think there's been a couple of people we tried to contact that were down at the hatchery down on the river, and they couldn't get out, they couldn't do anything. But I think the top of the hill over there where the scouts have made a trail up to would be a perfect place to set up. So we're kind of thinking about doing that here in the not too distant future, maybe in the next few weeks or so. And it should be fun. So I got to get shaken here to get everything into a backpack to tote up there. But looking forward to it. And as far as the fox goes, our rooster fended off the fox for quite a while. He got a good chunk missing on his backside, but he saved the rest of them. And I think it tends to be seasonal. Mama having babies and trying to feed them. But I heard my neighbor eliminated one, so I'm kind of hoping it was the one that we were having the trouble with. We'll see, because right now I got them all locked up to keep them alive. But that's all for now.
Make sure you publish your activation date and whatever band you're on Slack. That I'm sure people in the club would be interested in trying to make contact with you guys for your activation. All right, we are at the bottom of the list for the second go-around, so we're looking for any new check-ins for the net this evening. Any new stations, please call net control now.
Recheck?
Yeah, that was next, Vicki. Go ahead.
Hey, if there's a picnic committee or I don't know how you guys arrange this or anything, but I'm more than happy to help out if anybody needs the help. So let me know at the meeting or sooner if you need it sooner, okay? NAVLC.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Vicki. I haven't had time to breathe lately. Scott, I think, had a date and a location picked out. You might want to throw him a note on Slack and see if he needs some help on that. All right, any other rechecks for business for the net, please call now.
Recheck WAFFR.
Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I'd like to throw this out there because I know of three or four hams that are relatively close to my house. And I'm just wondering if y'all could help me out one of these days. I want to take my handheld with the 15-inch whip I have for it. And I just want to go in my yard with the handheld and see on Simplex what I can hit with the handheld. Because the base station I know will go pretty far, and I can check out the base station when we do the neighbor net, but I've never tested the handheld's capabilities. I don't even know 100% if it gets into the repeater to be heard, because no one's really responded to a radio check I've tried. So I appreciate any help y'all willing to give me.
What is your home PTH there, Ryan?
Corner Baldwin and Sutton Road, right on the intersection.
Okay, yeah, we have to pick some weekend, I imagine. And we could do some distance checks. I'll bring this to the next meeting, but I have a little box. I guess technically it's a go box, but it's just a box with a collection of stuff. And the stuff is for HTs. So I carry in there a hunk of small piece of coax and also some ladder line jig pull antennas. They If you hang one in a tree, my point is, if you hang one in a tree, it's significantly higher gain with, or basically no weight, significantly higher gain than your HT rubber ducky. So I'll bring that to the next meeting and show you what I got. All right, one more time. Any other rechecks for the net this evening, please call now. All right, nothing heard. Thank you, everyone, for joining this evening. Very enjoyable net. And we're going to now return the repeater to normal use. This is KB8TAR 73.
W8FFR. Ryan, are you still on the frequency? And 8LJN.
LJN from W8FFR, that's a big affirmative.
Happy to help you out with testing on your handheld there. Tonight I've got something I've got to get off the air, so I'm going to get into the house. Why don't you just send a message on the Slack channel, and maybe some evening I'll be happy to do that. I'm guessing I'm about 6 to 8 miles from you, directly east. We are just an eighth of a mile north of Sutton, so at the corner of Five Lakes. We're on Five Lakes. So that might be a good test for you. N8LJN.
All right. I appreciate that. And I still, like I said on the net, I still don't know for sure if the new antenna I got for the handheld is 15 inches. It's a pain in the butt to have the antenna on my belt, the ray on my belt, but it does extend its range, and I still actually haven't figured out if anyone can hear me on the repeater with that, because KE8ZTX is my neighbor, and he can hit the repeater from his yard, and he's literally right across the street from me, so I'm assuming I can do the same thing. So I appreciate it, all the help in figuring out what that HT can do, because I know I can do it with my mag mount. It's just if I can get these places with the HT and the replacement antenna that I replaced the rubber ducky with, that would be really great, because that greatly enhanced my abilities if I can't get to my base station, or if something were to happen to my car and I can't, when I lose my mag mount. So I appreciate that, and I'll put something on Slack eventually one of these nights, because my work is unpredictable the days I get out, what time I get out. So, but yeah, I appreciate your help. W8FFR.
All right, Ryan, 7-3, I'm out for the evening. N8LJN clear and out.
3-NA-LJN, this is Whiskey 8, Foxtrot, Foxtrot, Romeo. I am clear as well. Whiskey 8, Foxtrot, Foxtrot, Romeo, radio check.
FFR, KE8ZTX, you're coming through loud and clear, so you're getting into the repeater.
All right, thanks for that. That means my voice is readable and you can understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, you got a little static, a little scratch in there, but that's understandable. But yeah, other than that, no problem.
All right, thanks for helping me out. I'm still now. Good to know that I can hit it clearly with my handheld. This is W8FFR. I am clear. Thanks, everyone.
KE8ZTX, clear.
Good evening. 21 hours. Mostly cloudy. 79 degrees. VHF hub connected to Lapeer VHF. Good evening, 22 hours, mostly clear, 74 degrees.
KF8AYL, monitoring.
Good evening.
KFAAYLKEHCB.
Yeah, can I? KATEKFAAYL.
This is KEHCB.
What did I lose you there? I responded to your transmission, and then there was nothing.
I was on the 3-3 repeater in Saginaw. I think there might be an issue. That's the second. I answered somebody and never heard them. It got terrible SWR for a phone. I played around with it. If it would tune on the upper part of 40 meters, and yeah, I didn't like the results. Maybe you need longer radios or more of them for that part of the band, I'm not sure. But I did play around radios. I had 2 7. Clearly doing something.
Well, I mean, 1.4, 1.5 isn't horrible. It's not great, but, you know, for a base, you know, for using it as a base or something, yeah, that's probably not desirable. I get it.
I plan on using it for POTA. So I'm going to, if weather's more appropriate tomorrow, I plan on going down to my park. There's a nice larger open area, and I plan on rechecking the tuning on it. And then I'll probably go somewhere else that's even a larger open space, different soil composition, and test it there. Because technically my township is marshland, so it's clay and hard soils, so I'm really not really sure where I have to go to find a different composition, but most of the places that I plan on using, it's marshland, so if it works here, it should work there, because all the POTA sites near me is DNR land, and it's marsh.
No, I do not. I got so much crap going on right now that I, this is as far I'm going to go in the world for the time being anyway. It's a year or so probably. I'm probably not going to get into stuff until I retire and have a lot more time to play around with stuff.
Well, I loaded up PSK report.info and typed in my call sign to see what kind of signal strength I was getting. And Texas, I had like a negative 15 at 15 watts, and all throughout the state, and I was seeing a negative 22, Ohio, 15, I think the best was I even got outside of the United States. I got a report in Canada that was pretty good. It was less than 20. And I forgot the part of the country, but it's on the other side over there, near Russia, somewhere over there. I saw a report come up, and it was like 15 or 20 or something. I think that was the 18 I saw. So So it's doing pretty good. I saw this one call sign. It was a W0RLD. The word world. So it says CQ world on my screen. I got to work this guy.
The transmit bait call sign. I could see that. That's pretty funny. I heard some guy come over to GMRS with W-O-Z-Z. I'm like, is that real? Or I think it was W-O-Z-Y, W-O-Z-Z, something like that. With you know, the three numbers after it. But, I don't know if that, I should probably go with that one. Was that actually real?
Yeah, another good clickbait one is coax. K0AXL. He gets on the Fusion Network Pleasant Valley repeater system. and he's the one that introduced me to GLARG VEC for doing online VE exams for people. It's a pretty cool group of people too, by the way. I think I worked him on digital as well.
Yeah, I actually bought a digital capable radio a little while back because it was like half off, but I had not pulled it out of the box because I know it's going to be a big, giant rabbit hole of and figuring it out and all that crap. A bunch of people told me, you just ditch the OEM firmware on it. Open source firmware stuff on. It's much better. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know, but I know it's going to be a bunch of time that I don't have right now.
By the sound of it, you bought yourself a DMR radio.
Yeah, I think it's listed as such.
What brand did you get?
All right, it's a TYT MD9600.
Is that the mobile style or the HT style?
It's a 50-watt mobile.
Yeah, hook that up to your computer with CHIRP and with the appropriate cable. Download your radio to your CHIRP. That way you get your... And then put your channels into it. Save it and upload it back to your radio. That's the easiest method. And there's some very complicated crap you got to put in there, like your... DMR ID and some other stuff, but I played around with the Alenco one time. I was able to get it working somewhat. I didn't have any DMR repeaters nearby, but I used it with a hotspot, and I would like to say I had a great experience, but I didn't. But apparently I bought a lemon, and the radio just wasn't wanting to work. Trying to get it to work with the FM repeaters, it kind of barely hit my 3 mile away main repeater, which is the 2.4. And that thing got the footprint down the flat, and that HT could barely hit it. Every other radio I had hit it just fine. I had troubles using the spot. I got into TGIF group, and I ran into like 10 or 15 people had that radio and swear up and down and love it, and I told them what my problem was, and they said, return it, you bought a lemon. So I did, but I went with a Fusion radio instead.
Yeah, so when I bought that, apparently everybody says the OEM firmware is horrible, and to get right off the bat and use this open software called OP1977 or something like that, and just put that on it right away, and then it's much easier to program, you know, even with the TURP or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I know it's going to be a big time consumer, so I'm trying to do a bunch of other stuff right now. I'd like to, but hey, let's see.
Well, if it doesn't work out for you, I'm sure you can find somebody to sell it to. I recommend Fusion. Fusion, there's no programming. It's just plug and go. And you can hook up a hotspot, PiStar, or you just buy one from TGIF to keep build them. Just you can get into any DNR group with Fusion crossover.
Yeah, I'd actually done a little bit of research beforehand, and where I'm at in the UP, there's pretty much no Fusion around there. It's all DMR in that area, so I don't know. I don't know anything about it. It's something new for me to get into that I'm looking forward to at some point.
Yeah, according to that address you gave me, you're pretty far up there. The Eastern Michigan Link don't go that far up yet, but they do have a like one or two upper peninsula, but it's closer to the lake. But they're expanding all the time. Who knows? Maybe they'll have up close enough where you can hit it with a beam.
Yeah, well, after I get this building in up north, which is one of the things I'm working on, I'm going to have to build the stupid thing myself, because builders there seem to want stupid money to put anything up. I'm going to get some kind of tower on the edge of it or on top of it or something. So, and I'm on a bluff on the Lake Superior there, so if I can get that, then I'll be really set up for that particular area for sure. I'll be going out over the lake and pretty much across the whole west end of the UP there. Should be able to.
That's weird. She just said that. Hasn't been 10 minutes yet. KEHCB, Friday.
Yeah, if she hasn't finished, she wants to be eating it, because I think it's a protocol to say it every hour or something.
Yeah, every 10 minutes, just like we're supposed to do. Makes a great clock. If you hear it go, you missed your cue. So what you been up to today? It's been awfully muggy. Were you out in that crappy weather?
Today was the day job, and then a bunch of research on how to do barn foundations. 2,500 ways to do it. I just can't seem to pick one.
Yeah. Foundation, that's for your place up north?
Yeah, that's affirmative. I'm trying to get a barn in up there, so I mean there's an old house on the property that's kind of good enough to, you know, use as a cabin for now. People were living in it, but it's pretty rough. It's been neglected, and So that all needs redone. So my plan was I'm going to build this barn because there's no anything. So I'm going to, I want a barn anyway, so I'm going to build a barn. That way I can stage all the stuff that I'm going to need to be able to redo the house. And then when that's done, we can move up there. That's my master plan anyway. We'll see if it works out.
Have you looked into those pre-built homes, like a Tesla home? See if it'd be cheaper to have one of those sent up and installed?
Well, I might get lynched in the community if I did that for the house, because the house that's there is actually a historic home. It's the old stamp mill superintendent's home, and you know, it's in books and other stuff, but over the mining company owned it in the 1900s through 1978, something like that. The stamp mill shut down in 26, and then the mining company just owned it and rented it out to anybody that wanted to be there. And for the most part, in like the 50s and 60s and 70s, it was just used as a summer camp. And somebody bought it in 78 and kind of redid it and put heat back in it and stuff like that. So and then they were living in it. It's a really nice home. And the woodwork is gorgeous inside. It's just been really neglected. It just needs kind of gone through in total. Like all the mechanicals are garbage. Everything needs done. You know, the plaster's all cracked. That all needs to come out and be redone and just stuff like that. But the home itself, the bones are really good. If I tore it down, they'd be, I think the locals would be,
buy a historical home, huh? You probably got to go through Historical Society to paint the door.
That I don't. There is none of that up there. There's actually not even any zoning, so I could do whatever I wanted to do.
Well, that's good news. yeah, you're going to have to go through that place and gut it and get rid of all the knob and tube wiring and everything to make it safe to live in.
Oh, there's knob and tube. Some of it's active, some of it's not. Like the first several ones I put my meter to, they weren't active. I'm like, okay, so all this knob, and I put my meter to a couple other sections of it. I'm like, oh, these ones are active. All right, well, gotta watch out for. I mean, there's everything in it. That's the problem with the mechanicals. Is there's 25 generations. You know, there's knob and tube. There's the silvers. 40s, 50s, 60s stuff. There's some Romex. There's, you know, people hacking on stuff in places. It's a total mess.
Yeah, that's one thing I know, like, about old homes is all the stuff people leave behind in them. When they upgraded it, they sold out, but it's so much work that they just put new in and leave the old. Creating problems for the future generations.
Nobody does that. Nobody tears up the old stuff. They just add on there. And I think the last 20 years, the people that were living there that we bought it from, I don't think they knew what they were doing. They would have people come in and do, you know, like an electrician or a plumber or whatever. And I think those contractors would come in and go, yeah, I ain't touching any of this. I'm just going to add on some stuff over here to make do work, make work what you want to work.
Yeah, it's a whole legal thing. Had a contractor come out to do a roof in our house one year, and as he was taking the plywood off because it was damaged to put new plywood down, he had to point out a few things. Apparently, the person that built the home cut some corners. And he can't touch it, because if he touches that one little thing, he legally has to go over the entire house and fix every corner that was cut, shortcutted. And just so, just to the way the rule, I guess. Which is probably why the contractors stay away from the tube and wiring, because then they got to gut the whole thing, costing them more than money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm was pretty used to looking at some of those homes up there. When I first walked into that basement utility room in the downstairs up there, I was taken aback. I'm like, oh my God. This is a total, like the boilers, you know, half a foot from the electrical box, you know, the main electrical box, and there's 25 add-on little fuse boxes to the main electrical, and I'm like, oh my God, this whole room just needs to be nuked.
And if you go online and look up houses being rewired and stuff like that, you'll see some horror story videos where people's houses would catch fire and stuff because somebody would put a nail through the wall. Sure. Well, they struck the knob and tube wiring and they got electrocuted and lit the wall on fire. And every video with the licensed experts, the ones that put videos up teaching caution, they say, if you got knob and tube, pull that stuff out. And then they point to the video and say, this is why.
Well, you can deactivate it all, too, and run Romex or do whatever, but all the plaster's cracked everywhere, so, the whole house needs to come down to its kind of studs, so you can pull all that crap out, rewire it, replumb it. I already did kind of replumb it. I ran PEX everywhere and bypassed the old 1900s galvanized crap that looked like some 140-year-old artery, just to have working plumbing, because it wasn't really working well at all. But, the electrical is a mess, the heating's a mess, we'll see how it works.
Well, the great thing about you taking it down to the studs, you get all that old stuff out of there. You can increase the cavity size to the wall so you get proper insulation to keep you warm in the winter and cool in the summer.
Oh, the walls are plenty thick. The walls are 12-inch roughs on. 12-inch. 1 foot. But they're not insulated. Somebody did do a half-ass blow-in job. I think the guy who bought it from the mining company in the 70s, when he wanted to live there, I think he did the blow-in job in the late 70s. It's not very good, though. It's really inconsistent. Because back then, when they built those homes, they had steam heat from the stamp mill. The whole little town there had free steam heat from the stamp mill, so nobody cared if they had free supply. They just ran steam pipes through the whole little town for the 30 homes that were there, and the superintendent's house, our house, is up on the hill, kind of away from town a little bit, but free steam heat, yep.
Oh, you got some nice wall cavities there. My house was built in 1958, and I only got 7/8 of an inch, less than 1 inch, for a cavity, and they're not insulated. And it just got the firewall sheet in there, and that's it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun trying to fix somebody else's mess. I don't like doing that under normal circumstances, but in this case, to save a historic home, as opposed to the home itself is, you say, the bones are perfect. I mean, the roof line is awesome. It's not sagged. You know, everything is perfectly straight. It's really well built. I mean, it's got 9.5-foot ceilings on the first floor. It's got walk-in closets. It's got big window opening. Kind of unheard of things for 1900. So, I want to save that, the structure, but yeah, it needs to be done.
How much have you got started on it? You got it out yet?
This is KF8AYL for ID. No, I haven't done anything to the house yet aside from run new PEX plumbing to all the fixtures so I can drain it easily and have working plumbing because that wasn't really working. But like I said, the plan is I'm going to build this barn and then I can stage all the materials and things I need for to fix up the house. And then we'll get that done and move up there and retire. Yeah, well, we'll see what the scrappers are paying. If you want to get a dollar.
KEACB, do the scrappers pay any better up there compared to down here?
Copper, but for steel, steel pretty much the same.
I figure being pretty much nowhere that it'd pay a little bit better.
Yeah, I cut all of that old galvanized pipe out of there, and I had a bunch of other steel that was just strewn about the property that I collected, and there was an old wood boiler in the basement that was all cracked and not working. That was like myself, I had to torch the thing up in the basement to get it out of there. I have no idea why anybody even got that in there. But, yeah, it was about the same price as it was going for down here. I got rid of all that.
So, you go up there every now and then to do a little work?
There about every 2 weeks out of the month, but I've been home a lot lately because my wife had surgery on her foot and able to walk for the last 4 weeks. She's now just getting to put some weight on it and kind of starting to get off the crutches. So when she gets back to walking and driving, I'm going to go back up there and build this barn.
Got the barn on order?
Not specifically, no. I'm not doing a... I have it spec'd out. I know exactly what I'm doing, but I'm just going to buy the pieces as I'm going from the local place. They're giving me a pretty decent discount. That Menards, I mean, Menards is the closest place, big box stores in Marquette. That's an hour and a half away. The local place is pretty close, and it's local, so I can just pop in there with a trailer and pick up as I need it. I don't need to pick up. I'm just going to do that piece. Yeah, it's also easier on the pocketbook.
I didn't mean like a kit. I meant like you had it spec'd out like a kit. And they pull all the pieces and drop it off to, you know, make your life easier. I was just wondering if you did it that way or not.
Built up for me and ready to buy it. I just need to tell them. I'm like, no, I'm going to buy this in pieces. I'm going to do, like, this section, I'm going to need these pieces, and that's, you know, a quarter of the cost, and then a few months later, I'm going to come around with the next order, that's going to be another quarter of the cost, or whatever, and they're all good with that.
Hey, you got any friends up there that are going to help you put the barn together?
Yes and no. I know a couple of guys that own vacation homes there, so they're there sometimes. They said they've helped me, but, you know, they kind of got to be around and already there. So, yeah, I mean, I'll have some help. The neighbor down the road, I know him. He said he'll help, you know, if I need help setting trusses, you know, a couple extra hands for a few hours on a day. No big deal. So, stuff like that, yeah, I got some hands, but for the most part, it's going to be a one-man show.
Now, when you get that place all built and done, you're definitely going to be ready to retire. You'd be too tired to pick up the radio.
The money they were coming in at was like, you know, materials were like X, and they were wanting about 3.5 times X of material. Like, what? Where are you getting these numbers? I can't even if I spec 5 guys for, you know, at $200 an hour for, and put them in their own hotel rooms and with $200 a day per diems, and I can't get anywhere near these labor costs. How are you getting 3 and 4 times materials cost on your labor? I don't get it. I don't understand where they're coming from. But that's the market, you know, there, and people are buying things, so I'm like, I guess I'm doing this myself.
Yeah, they're just praying on the weak, basically, you know, the ones that can't do it themselves, and they got no choice but to pay outrageous prices to get it done because they can't go anywhere else. And they're just taking advantage of it, sounds like.
I don't know. I tried to do the math to see where their labor was coming from, and even if I doubled the man hours and did all kinds of ridiculous things, I could only get to about 2/3 of their labor numbers. That was with ridiculous assumptions. The realistic assumptions were way less. And I'm like, so you guys are wanting to profit. I don't know. I don't know where they're coming from, but whatever. They're not getting my money, so.
Yeah, it might take you longer, but at least you'll have the money to get the place done the way you want it, and probably still have money to spare for that antenna and tower.
Yeah, I need it for that and my the Starlink internet that's there. I have a little mini Ron tower that I just stuck in the ground. It's only 1 10-foot section plus a 10-foot in the ground. That's half of it's out. That's 15-foot plus the top. So I think it's 25 feet in the air, 30, 28 feet, something like that. And that Starlink's a little bit obstructed, so your internet gets a little bit cut off for little microsecond outages. But yeah, I need to get something up higher so I can get out of the woods.
Sounds like it's gonna be a very beautiful place when you get done.
Well, like I say, it's just a goal. We'll see if I can attain the goals. One step at a time, baby steps. Crap may happen between now and then, and it's gonna be on the edge as far as affording it and being able to, goal-driven guy, so take the goal, spread it up, see if you can accomplish the steps to get to your goal. That's my goal.
When you finish the goal, you're going to have to take a really nice picture of the place and turn it into a QSL card.
When what's a QSO card? I don't think I've heard of that term before.
Yeah, QSL card. It's a postcard. You send it to a ham. It has a picture on it. Call sign. Mode. And signal report.
Send this somehow over the radio.
People do use SSTV to send their QSL cards. I don't know how to do that, but I've read that you can. But usually the good old ES is how it's done. And then there's an electronic QSL. The website's eqsl.cc. And it's a free account, and you can set up a basic QSL card, and then you can set up your digital software or your log. Load your log and it automatically will send EQSL cards out to every ham that you work.
Well, that's interesting. I don't think I've heard of that.
Good evening. 23 hours. Partly cloudy. 72 degrees.
Yeah, QRZ. Yeah, I'm a member that have upload access. So my software can do it automatically. And QSL.cc account. The software that does all that hard work, a grid track, WXGTX software, which is used for doing FTA, FT4, and stuff like that. And so when you click log on that, it's passed it over to Grid Tracker, and then Grid Tracker passes it on to those other three places. It just makes things easy and less complicated once you get it set up.
All right, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, I'm on the QRZ. I made an account there, but other than that, I've not looked into too many other things that are going on there. I don't even know why I made an account there. I think to be able to see how many people look me up, because a lot of people, especially, will look you up.
you're definitely going to want to get a Logbook of the World account. It's free. They make it more complicated than it needs to be, but it's free. Once it's set up and you set up on your computer, it's easy. You just, you know, use a logging software like RumLogNG, which is free. And every time you make a contact, you log it. And, you know, you could upload daily, weekly, monthly. And it confirms your contact with the other person. And you get these digital certificates, continents, and a few other things I can't think off the top of my head. Little accomplishments you get.
So that's interesting. Yeah, I have to look into that. Pretty interesting.
And they will automatically sync their logbook with logbook of the world, so both have the exact same information, and the QRZ is easier to use. So setting that up automatically is the best way to go. And then when you log, you log in, go to your logbook and QR, you can literally prerequisites. And a certificate, and they email it to you, and you can re-download it. I'll hang them up on the wall and stuff like that. Worked. But Hawaii's eluding me.
Can you say, HF, what bands are you actually doing that on mostly?
Well, it's mostly limited to what you got for antenna. I got a 20-meter dipole. I just got the 40-meter ham stick. I used to have a long wire. Well, I have it, but I took it down. But any of the bands, 6 all the way up to 180, and modes, and it's ammo meters with Canada, and they all add up to give you certain ones like your continents, your states, and stuff like that. And there's now POTA, P-O-T-A .app, and you can do parks on the air as a hunter, where you hunt these HF signals, and you work them, they log it, and upload their log to POTA, and you log the contact on the POTA app, and once you it, like, it's kind of the same thing, like so many states activate places and get stuff. And if you're really into traveling, you could travel and activate every state and stuff like that if you're into traveling. But and have fun doing that. Fuck the mosquitoes, because it's, well, marshland.
Do the higher elevations matter as much at those band levels?
I'm not 100% sure on that one. Heights might always, but there's different configurations, different style antennas, and stuff like you. You can do an NV IS, I think it's called. It's basically more of a vertical takeoff. So if you're in a place where you're lower to the ground, you can use that antenna and it'll shoot your signal up higher.
Well,